One of the limitations of me not being here at the beginning of the service is not being able to do what I did in the first service. I brought Sarah Fisher up here, and I took a moment to thank her for Vacation Bible School and all that she did for Vacation Bible School. We had a wonderful Vacation Bible School this year, one of the best in a long time. It was just a wonderful experience, and I felt so privileged to be a small part of it. I actually missed quite a bit of it because some of the things happening in the church. But it was just a huge joy and a great response from the kids. If you didn't get a chance, we may show some pictures later about at a different day about our sanctuary being decorated. She did a beautiful job decorating the sanctuary. She had some wires going across the whole length of the sanctuary with some Chinese lamps hanging down that had the group numbers on them so the kids could find their groups here in the church. And it's just beautifully done. And Jenny did a wonderful job presenting the gospel. We're so thankful to her for that. And it was a fantastic week, so we were very blessed by that. I want to start out by talking to you a little bit about where we are and where we're going. The past couple of weeks we've been talking about doing a series called Simple Things, and they're really about how we can respond simply to life around us and what God asks of us. And we talked about encouragement and how God can use us to encourage us. And today I want to talk about a little bit about the fact that, and this is in part because of some of the things that we've been going through as a church, about darkness and how to respond to a sense of darkness in our world and in our lives. For those of you who don't know, we've had just a series of things the past couple of weeks that have really been a challenge to us as a church. And when something affects a family in the church, it affects many or all of us. The McPeaks, you know, are involved in a terrible tragedy that has, there are many people in the church that are linked to them. And the Butlers have been tied to another one. And Lisa Brathwaite just recently lost her dad this past week as well after a long illness. And those are all very hard things. And I want to talk a little bit today about how to walk through a time like that. When I was in high school, my first sense of what this kind of thing was like was when I was in high school and the space shuttle tragedy happened. And many of you remember that. It was there was just a sense as a nation that something very difficult had happened. And we wrestled with that. For those of you that are older than me, you may remember, you know, Kennedy. And that was a moment when, as a nation, we went through something pretty hard and all that that meant. For those that are younger, their first experience of that may have been the Twin Towers. They walked through that and saw that happen, and that was a moment where, as a nation, we went through something very hard together. And for me, when these kinds of things happen, they bring with them a sense of, I feel a sense of heaviness within me. I feel a sense in which the basic joys of life don't seem nearly as strong. I feel like hope seems a little dimmer, and there are these big unanswered questions that kind of settle on us, and they are left unanswered. And different things cause this. Sometimes when I've sit with families who have a loved one that's been through a long bout with cancer or something, and when that individual finally dies, there's a moment of heaviness about that you have to walk through with people. And many of you have been through that kind of an experience and know what I'm talking about. And there's different senses of this. When I look on the television and I see a nation involved in a war far away, I have a sense of this, but it's kind of a distant darkness. It doesn't touch me in the same way. I feel for them. I feel the weight of it for them, but it's not happening in my hometown in a way that would affect me the same. There's moments where there's, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, there's moments where there's kind of, there seems like a low-lying cloud overhead for a period of time where just a series of bad things happens in your own life and you're just like, would it just stop raining on me? You know, it just, it gets that way sometimes. And then sometimes there are just stormy moments in our own personal lives where we go through something really hard. But when I walk through a sense of darkness, I get this profound sense that the world feels broken. It feels like there's something broken in the world. And that's a hard thing. And I find it really interesting that Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, the Bible says, starting at noon for 3 hours until 3 p.m., literally a darkness covered the earth. And of course, Jesus himself on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And maybe there's moments in life where you can relate to that, where you have the sense where it just feels so dark and so heavy that you wonder where God is. And your head may tell you one thing, but your heart tells you another. And I want to talk a little bit about our response to this and what it means for us to be a part of this. In John chapter 8, thank you, Kelly. In John chapter 8, Jesus makes for us what for me is a very powerful statement. And he says this, Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus in this particular passage is talking about a different kind of, well, it could be a different kind of darkness. It's not the same thing as some of the tragedies that I spoke of. But what he's talking about here is within our own lives, there is a sense of darkness. When we've made decisions that leave us with guilt or shame, we've walked through periods of life where we've done things that we knew were wrong, there is another kind of darkness that we have. And in that sense, specifically, Jesus is saying, I'm the light of the world, and when you walk in me, you won't have to walk in that kind of darkness anymore. But for me, the idea that Jesus is the light of the world is so powerful and so big. And it is because when I take the trash out on Tuesday nights, I carry a flashlight with me. And when I do that, my flashlight is only about this. I mean, when I shine it into the woods in front of me, it's only about this big, right? There's no confusion about the fact that it's still dark. It's still nighttime. I can see where I'm going, but the whole world is still dark and covered with stars. My flashlight only does so much. On the other hand, when the sun comes up, that is a different kind of light. When the sun comes up, the darkness runs away. And now it isn't just my little corner of the woods and my driveway that's lit up. It's, you know, half of the world becomes lit up when the sun comes up. And in that very real sense, Jesus is saying that I am the light of the world. I have the ability to just chase away the darkness. It flees in front of me. And so when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, there's a part inside of me that just wants to stand up and cheer. Yes, you go, Jesus. You do that. Chase all that away. And so in Isaiah, which is not on the screen, but in Isaiah chapter 9, which we read around Advent, the prophet Isaiah said this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in a deep land of darkness, a light has dawned. And so I want to just stand up and say, yes, I like this imagery. I like this because Jesus has the responsibility for dealing with the darkness. And Jesus has a responsibility for coming in and not just dealing with our sins, but dealing with all of the evil and the other stuff in the world. And let him do that. Yay, go, Jesus, go. And then I come to this passage in Matthew. And in Matthew, Jesus turns around during the Sermon on the Mount, and he looks at you and me. And then he says this, you are the light of the world. Now here's what he's telling us. And let me just pause and share with you how we get to this point. The Scripture says, matter of fact, let's go to it now. We'll come back to the Matthew passage. The Scripture says this in John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that's been made. In Him, and this is the key, was life, and that life was the light of all men. And the Bible's telling us that when we receive Christ into our life, the light that we have is not ours. Whose is it?
Jesus.
That's right. And so when we go back to Matthew and we look in that context at this scripture where Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. He's saying when you've accepted Christ into your life, you have the light of the world within you. And so he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, one of my joys in life when I lived in Hagerstown was when I would come home at night and I would be somewhere east of home. I would come down off of South Mountain at night and I would see the city of Hagerstown in front of me. And it was just beautiful at night to see all those lights. And even though the city had a glow to it, it wasn't one light. How many lights were there? Thousands? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? I don't know. And if one of them went out, I wouldn't have noticed it. If a section of the city went out, I would have noticed it. And Jesus is saying to us, as a church, you are the light of the world because you carry the light of the world within you. And so he says, a city on a hill can't be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before people, that they may see, and this is so important, that they may see your good deeds and do what? Give the glory to God, not us. See, and I wrestle with this a little more because for me, when I have a period where I walk through darkness, what I really want to do is curl up in a ball and be in a corner. That's what I want to do. And when it's the worst and when it's personal, God will oftentimes let me do that. He will oftentimes give me a period where he says, you know what? I'm going to give you some time. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to let you walk through a period of time in which I just speak to you and love on you. But he also says there's also a time to stand up. There's a time to be a light in this world. Jesus has the ability to walk in and to chase away all the darkness, but he doesn't always do that. And the Bible tells us, even though we're sometimes surprised by darkness, that the darkness, we're never promised it's going to go away until the very end. He doesn't promise that. Instead, he tells us other things. And one of the things that we can do is stand up and respond. So Monday, when Vacation Bible School rolled around, I'll be honest, I didn't want to come in and be a light to the kids. I wanted to just sit in my office and pray and hide. And God says, no, you have to get up and you have to go in and you have to be a light. And Rich came to me and said, Gary McDaniel's called. Gary McDaniel is the head of the guidance counselors in the school system and coordinates student needs. And he said, he and the guidance counselors up at the middle school would like to meet with you. And my internal response was, I don't have the energy to do that. I don't have the strength to do that. So I said, tell him after Bible school I'll go up. So I went up after Bible school and I sat in an office with Gary and some folks from the school system. And here's what Gary said. Gary said, we so much want to help in the middle of this hard time. We want to help the kids in this community. We want to help the Butler family. We want to help you. And he said, you know what? We know what you're doing down in your church. You guys are doing an awesome work for this community and your church. We are so blessed as a school system by how you are supportive of your families and the kids in this community. We are very grateful. And we'd like to partner with you in seeing what we can do to move forward and being a blessing together. And I just sat there for a moment and thought, wow. And he said, you know what, I know that you guys are going to try and minister to the Butler family. He said, what if we got together six or seven other organizations and created a fund together that could help them? What if we were able to partner that way? So that'd be awesome. So, you know, we all got up and we called different people, and God brought all this together. And it was like God was saying to me, in the middle of something that's very dark, that's a tragedy, I am going to use this to bring together something good. And I've watched. Gary said, you know, I think it would be great if we could have a memorial service for the kids. What if, and Rich and I had already talked about that to some degree, and he said, what if we partnered together to do that, and we provided some guidance counselors and some resources, and you guys can take the point on putting the service together and what it looks like and all that kind of stuff, and we brainstormed people, and God just began to really bring this together as an opportunity, and I so sense the presence of God in the middle of that. And Dave Banks, who's our superintendent, was present for some of that and was just offered his blessing on it and said, you know, whatever we can do to help. It was a great moment. And I believe that we have an opportunity, whether it be in this or in other moments, when we sense darkness, when we have that heaviness because there are hard things that we're going through, not only to turn to God, who is the light of the world and can change darkness to light in a minute at a sunrise. We get up early to see that and the glory of that. But also because we can join together because we have the light of Christ within us. And together be a city on a hill. Not for us, not for First Church, but for God. And sometimes those are just simple things, simple acts that we can do. The simplest of things that really display God's love and His kindness within us. The Scripture tells us in John that the light shines and the darkness does not overcome it. It cannot overcome the light itself. The NIV translates it understand. Other variations translate it overcome. The light cannot overcome it. And there's this very real sense within us that when we capture this sense of the hope that Jesus Christ has, that we can more confidently stand up and put our light on a stand. See, the disciples on Friday and Saturday went home and hid after Jesus died. Hid out in the upper room. Because even though He had told them what would happen, when they woke up Sunday morning, what did they believe? He was still dead. He was still there. Even when they visited the empty tomb, some of them had a hard time believing. But He had told them, and the angel said, He is risen just as He said. And God has told us that as time gets closer to an end, it will get dark. He said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Ever heard of those? He said that there will be floods, earthquakes, fires. Any of those sound familiar? I mean, He has told us that there are going to be hard things happening in our world. And yet He has told us that Christ will still be victorious. And He's asked us as His people not to simply stand in the corner and pray that God shine a light into the darkness. He's asked us to stand up too. Friday, Thursday, I was out. I took my car out, and my mechanic who had looked at my car said, you know, if you run your air conditioning, it'll be fine. So I went out to town, and when I got there, my car was overheated. I called him. I said, what do I do? I just cleaned out my car, so I usually have junk water bottles in my car. You know, I could have filled him up and put it in, but I didn't have anything. So he said, well, if you can get some water in it and all that, you should be able to get home. So I drove about a half a mile, and my car started to overheat again. I pulled over, and I was just sitting on the side of the road going, oh, God, not another thing in life, right? So I called Aaron Close, who's got my insurance. I said, you know, do I have any roadside assistance, anything? He said $100 toward towing. So I called Roy's, and they said, it'll probably cost $125. Okay. So I said, come on out and get me. So I'm driving back with them, and I'm like, why is this happening? And all of a sudden it occurs to me that like 3 weeks earlier, I had seen Betty over in Ace, and Betty and I are friends, and she had told me that her son's going through cancer. So I just said to Roy, how's your son? And for the whole ride home, we talked about his son. We get to the parking lot, and I say, would you mind if I had the privilege of praying for you right here? So I pray for Roy in the middle of his parking lot, and I walked in, and I said to Cindy, how much is it going to be? And she said, $105. And God just said, I'm taking care of you. I come back here for a meeting, and I find out that Jenny Ellis has done an incredible presentation of the gospel, and over 30 kids respond to give their lives to Jesus. What a moment. What a moment. So I had promised, this year we offered something different. Because we had the closing at Cape and State Park at the beach, we offered them that anybody who wanted their kid baptized, we would baptize them. And I told Sarah I would personally call every family of every child who had given their life to Christ. And I'm looking, and I've got to call 28 families in about 2 hours. And I'm like, God, this is never going to happen. And you know what? I had some of the most wonderful conversations with parents. I had parents say to me, I can't believe this. This is wonderful. I am so excited. I had parents say to me, I'm not sure my kid understands this. What do you think I should do? I said, why don't you talk to them? They said, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to talk to my kids about their faith. And I know it was so cool. And I had some parents who were like, you know, we go to another church, but we are just so blessed by what you guys are doing. And we've got a youth pastor. Do you mind if we like have our kids talk to their youth pastor about this? I'm like, do it. I love it. Go for it. I had parents who were like, you know, we can't be there, but we want to do this. Could we like maybe baptize them next year? I'm like, we could baptize them before then. You know, and God, just we had all these wonderful conversations. And I had parents come up to me that night who said, you know what, my kid is 6 years old. And after I talked to you, I went home and I sat down and I talked to him and I said, do you understand what you've done? Do you know what you've done? And the parents said to me, they knew exactly what they did. They knew exactly what it meant that they gave their life to Christ. They knew what it meant that they asked him to be their friend. They knew what it meant that he'd forgiven their sins. They said, baptize them. They know exactly what's happening. It was the coolest thing. And that morning, that night, Thursday night, Sarah texted me, have you seen the weather? So Friday morning we got up, first thing Sarah said to me, have you seen the weather? In the middle of the day, honest to goodness, I said, God, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3 years. I'm asking for a couple of hours. And do you know when we got there, the skies broke, it was sunny, it was beautiful. And we baptized 12 kids. What a moment. I had a dad come up to me and say, this is one of the most special things that's ever happened to my kid. I am so thankful. And I was reminded in that moment that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Darkness cannot overcome me. And you are the light of the world. And as I'm walking in my car before the baptism, I'm walking in my car, there's this couple. I walk out the gate toward the parking lot where the playground is, and this couple comes toward me and they say, is the beach that way? Now I'm thinking to myself, because they're older like me and they've got a really little kid, and I'm thinking, they weren't at Vacation Bible School. And I said, and we had the whole beach to ourselves. We ran out the whole beach. I said, why, yes, it is. Right back that way. So we go back, and one of the first people they run into is my wife. And they said, is this a group? And my wife said, well, yes, this is our vacation Bible school closing, and we just had a great week, and kids gave their lives to Christ. We're about to baptize. Come join us. And they said, my wife said, you know what? Somebody else had already gotten to them because they'd already invited them. They'd already gone up and gotten dinner. And she said, they were Methodists too. And I thought, isn't that cool? So, would you kill the light screen for a second? I want to show you something. You got the sound? Pastor Rob and I prayed over them that God would fill them with His Holy Spirit and make them into great men and women of God. What a moment. It was just beautiful. And I think it's important for us from time to time to remind ourselves that Jesus told us that He would never leave us. No matter how hard life got, no matter how dark it seemed, He would never leave us. And that we play a role in being the light of the world because we have Christ within us. Sometimes that comes in the form of a pan of brownies. I especially like that one. Sometimes it comes with a phone call or a card. And I just want to say, many of you have just been so giving that way. And the stories filter back to me of the ways, big and small, that you have just already been a blessing. Thank you for that. We want to work together as a church on this and helping the McPeaks and the Butlers, and specifically for this time period, those two families who have needs. There's an insert in the bulletin about cards and calls and food and those kinds of things, which if you let us know how you're willing to help us out with that, we will we'll put a team leader in contact with you, because it's looking like this is, for these two families in specific, it's going to be a bit of a haul for them and for what they face. And so we would like to make sure that we bless them over the long haul. I want to tell you thanks on a personal level. Many of you have come to me and told me that you're praying for me and asked how I'm doing, and I deeply appreciate that. I want to tell you that I have each day this week I had a greater and greater sense that God was holding us all up. And in personal moments when I needed Him, God just provided for me. And it was a very cool thing to experience how God did that. And I want to remind you that Jesus intends to be intimately involved in our lives to a great detail. And in doing so, He surprises us with His grace, with His kindness, with His love. And He also asks us to be instruments of that grace, places where He can turn to use for that. And I am so grateful that you're willing to be a part of that. And I ask that as we move into the future, that you would, with me, join together in asking God how we can be more and more open to that beyond just the walls of this church. As I continue to look at our school system and the kids in our community, there is an overwhelming number of needs. There are so many families who need help. And we live in a world that needs help. And I believe that we can make a significant difference And so I'm excited about how God is going to do that. I don't know what his plans are, but I do know this. He has told us that even when it gets the darkest, he still has a plan to take the hardest things in life and use them for his good. And the Bible reminds us that nothing, not death or life or angels or demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is huge. And so I want to close by telling you how grateful I am for Sarah and for Rich, who work very hard in this community to do this very kind of thing. For so many of the leaders in our school system who are at work trying to be in ministry in the name of Jesus. I've met some wonderful Christians who have a ministry in the, beyond teachers that I know in the school system, to be at work trying to do Jesus's work in the schools. And I've come more and more to believe that God is going to somehow continue to increase how he's going to give us the ability to bring healing and hope to our community. And I look forward to being a part of that with you. As we close, I want to remind you that there's an insert in the bulletin that you can sign up to help in different areas. And I'd encourage you to do that. And I want to tell you that we will intentionally move forward, especially with our children, in terms of ministering them. Sarah's doing a great program this summer called Kidmo, and we really want to bless our kids as we do that. So would you join with me in a word of prayer? God, as we see these images of kids who have given their lives to you, it's a powerful thing for us that they understand, even at their age, what it means that Jesus could be their friend and could walk with them in life. Help us to turn to you, especially when it gets hard, and not to feel a sense of hopelessness or despair, because you are there for us. And help us to be there for one another. Allow us by the power of your Holy Spirit to know how you are leading us as a church, and help us together to be a city on a hill where when people see us, they don't talk about this church or us as individuals, but they talk about you and what you are trying to get done. And God, we pray for all those people in our school system who are on the front lines, and ask that you would give them wisdom and strength. We pray for the families who recently have gone through hard things. We pray for Lewis and Lisa, for the Butler family. We pray for the McPeaks, and ask that you would give them what they need for each day. And we're grateful, God, for your blessings to us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.